And we're starting a new series today in Revelation. So I'm going to read Revelation 1, verses 1 to 8, which you can find in the Bibles on the tables on page 1235. So, Revelation chapter 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his servants the things that must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings on earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us a kingdom, priest to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty.
Alison, thanks so much for reading the passage, and do keep your Bibles open and also the handout there. We've got quite a full handout today, and you may find it helpful as we follow along. Before we jump in, let me say a quick prayer. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. Father, we do pray that we would be those who hear these words and keep what is written in it. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation chapter 1, verse 7 reads, "Behold, he is coming with the clouds." Revelation chapter 22, verse 12, "Behold, I am coming soon. I am coming soon." This is the kind of great tension, if you like. If you call yourself a Christian, there's a great promise that Jesus says that he will come back again. He will put everything right. There will be justice on earth. There will be a new creation. But the question is, why hasn't he come back yet? And again, if you're not a Christian here today, I want to say you're very welcome. Here's a tip for you. If you want to sort of rile your non-Christian, your Christian friend up, here's a question to ask them. Jesus promised that he will come back soon. He says, "I'm coming back soon." But where is he? What is holding Jesus back? Well, there was a time in my life that I didn't want Jesus to come back. I was just about to start my new job in Singapore, where I'm from. There was so much potential for me to explore. There was a world to travel. I wanted to explore my career, develop my career. So much reasons for Jesus to not come back. And maybe that's you as well. Maybe you are starting a new phase of life. You're going to get married, perhaps. Some of you may be building a family. Or maybe some of you are trying to leave a legacy behind. And then maybe some of the work that you're involved in, the real kind of cutting edge of your industry. I just met someone at a networking event just now, and he was working for Oracle something AI. And I guess, you know, he's at the cutting edge of the AI industry. And maybe that's you kind of building something that will change the shape and the surface of your industry forever. But is that the reason why Jesus has not come back? Again, that can't be right. Because if you think about it, when the Lord puts this world right and this new creation, there will be eternity to explore your potential. You have time to travel the universe, if you like, in the new creation. There'll be lots of things that you can do. And so why hasn't Jesus come back? And again, if you've not asked that question before, I want to say that's a really significant question, far more important than you realize. You see, to understand the in-between time, what keeps Jesus from coming back, why you have breath to breathe, why you have food on your table today, is the very reason why he has not come back. It shapes your purpose. It shapes your identity. What you are here for, it shapes your entire worldview. What is holding Jesus back? And that's what the book of Revelation is all about. It is exploring this delay, the in-between time between Jesus' first and second coming. But maybe when you hear the book of Revelation, you feel a bit worried. There's a sense of fear that comes up in you. Because the book of Revelation, it's a book that's famous of causing lots of confusion. Infamously, 666. Who are those figures? And one of the aims that we are doing the book of Revelation here in the Lunchtime Talk is to put the book of Revelation into your hands so you feel equipped to read it. And here's the basic idea. The book of Revelation, a surprise, it is revealing something. It is revealing something. I forgot my pair of sunglasses. It's in my bag over there. But you need to imagine, the book of Revelation is a pair of sunglasses, or let's call it heaven's glasses. It's heaven's perspective on life today. What is really going on? What is your 9-to-5 for? Why has the Lord put you on this earth? It is a perspective from heaven down to earth. It is also a reliable revelation. Do you notice? Look at verse 1. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his servants. This revelation is from Jesus himself, the Lord who is seated at God's right hand. This revelation comes from him. But also notice the benefit of this revelation. Chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy. Blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it. Blessing is promised for those who hear and who keep these words. A revelation is all about the now. To understand the delay, what holds Jesus back from coming back so soon? But again, the problem as we thought about is that Revelation is quite hard to understand. If you read it before, just sort of show of hands, anyone has sort of read the book of Revelation before? Okay, so you notice there are sort of strange characters in the book. There's a fire-breathing, lion-headed, locust-flying horses. There are dragons. There are beasts. There are lots of quirky things that happen in the book of Revelation. You might be thinking, what is going on? Again, I grew up reading the Left Behind series. Some of you guys may have heard of it. Maybe not. It's quite American. And I really enjoy sort of reading the Left Behind series. It's a dramatized version of the events in Revelation. It speaks about a rapture. It speaks about an Antichrist. Who is the Antichrist? Across history, people were suggested to be the Antichrist. You have Mikhail Gorbachev. You have Kim Jong-un. You have the Pope. You have maybe Donald Trump. Who is the Antichrist? And when you come to the book of Revelation, it might be all quite confusing. And so that really brings us to our first point. Here is the secret to read the book of Revelation, to understand the book, to unlock all the mysteries of Revelation. And the answer? Well, is to read the book of Revelation like any other book of the Bible. Because I think often when people come to this book, they often start to forget that Revelation is in the New Testament. It's like any other book in the Bible. It's written by John, probably the Apostle John, to seven churches in Asia Minor back in the first century. So always when you come to the book, have a think. What is John, who is writing to these seven churches in the first century, what would they have understood all these images to mean? And then ask the question, what does it mean for us today, 2,000 years later? But three tips to kind of help us as we kind of go through this book. Firstly, to notice that John, he is a pastor. John is a pastor. And what that means is, if he's a good pastor, he wants to be understood. Any good pastor, any good speaker wants to be understood by his readers. He aims for clarity. And so John will help us to understand what he means. If things sound strange, he will give us clues. He will help us to understand what he means. Firstly, John is a pastor. Secondly, notice John is also a Jew. And the way to think about why as a Jew is that the Old Testament, if you like, is his palette. if he's painting a picture, the Old Testament is palette. So if things again sound strange, ask the question, does this appear in the Old Testament at all, John as a Jew? And the third thing to realize is that who the book of Revelation is written to, the seven churches who are in the first century. The images, the symbols will mean something to them. And so ask the question, what would these images mean to those readers in the first century? Three tips. John's a pastor, John's a Jew, and his writing to seven churches in the first century. We're going to take a short pause. It's time for a quiz. Okay, in your handout, you see three questions there. And 10 points for someone who can get all the right answers. Okay, a couple minutes. Have a go at trying to answer the questions. Who do you think those things are? And then I'll call us back in a moment. If you're not sure of the answer, it's probably the number three. I'm just saying. Okay, let's look through them together. Question number one. Who are the two lampstands that appear to have the power of Elijah and Moses in Revelation chapter 11? Well, in Revelation chapter 1, verse 20, John, the author himself, he tells us that the lampstands refer to the churches. So is it one, the actual Elijah and Moses, or is it two, reincarnated Elijah and Moses, or three, symbolically referring to the churches, but emphasizing that there's prophetic ability? Or option four, my friend named Moses and my friend's son named Elijah. Answer, option three. Okay, excellent. Okay, question two. Who would John be referring to when he refers flying locusts? Option one, Apache helicopters. Option two, the locust plague that happened in Xinjiang, China in February 2020. Option three, an Old Testament allusion to the locust plague in Egypt in the Exodus. Or option four, Elon Musk SpaceX spaceship. Answer, option three. Final question. How would someone from the seven churches interpret the city of Babylon? Option one, North Korea. Option two, the city of London. Option three, ancient Rome. Or option four, the European Union. Answer, option three, ancient Rome. Okay? So hopefully this helps as we kind of go through the book of Revelation. It gives you a bit of sense of how to make sense of the kind of craziness that's going on. This had to mean something to people back then. Then it can mean something to us. To read Revelation like any other book of the New Testament. But that brings us to the second point. What is the rhetorical strategy of Revelation? And what I mean by rhetorical strategy is, how is John trying to persuade people to listen to him? And I think what Revelation presents to us is a meta-narrative, or an overarching narrative to understand the world. Here's a quotation. The meta-narrative in Revelation, well, it functions as an all-encompassing narrative that tells us about the past, the present, and the future. It provides a framework through which readers can interpret their understanding of reality. Revelation offers a worldview to understand who rules the world. Who are you? What do you do? What are you here for? Where is this world heading? And whoever you are, whether you call yourself a follower of Jesus or not, everyone has a worldview. Where does this world come from? Who rules the world? Where is this world going? Revelation offers a worldview, a meta-narrative to reframe the way you think about this world to understand what truly matters. The rhetorical strategy, a meta-narrative. But then brings us to option three, the structure of Revelation. It is to help us to understand the delay. There are lots of words there, and I put it there. We're not going through every single thing. It's meant to be as a reference to you. Maybe you can snap a picture of it just to know how the structure of Revelation unfolds. But one thing that I just want to point out is, if you notice, there are a few sevens in the book of Revelation. And quite famously, there are three big sevens. If you notice, the seven seals, the seven trumpets, and the seven bowls. And between the sixth and the seventh seal and trumpet, there is a delay. The sixth seal is about to open. There's a big delay. And then the seventh seal. There's a sixth trumpet and a big delay. And then the seventh trumpet. And the clue is what happens in the delay. And there's a table down there at the bottom. And those passages is describing the delay, it helps us to understand what is going on in the in-between. It tells us that there's much more going on. And so as the book unfolds, it's going to unpack why Jesus hasn't come back. And right at the heart of the book is right there in chapter 12. If you notice chapter 12, the header there, it describes that there is a war. The war between a dragon, his beast, and the Lamb's army. And that gives us a clue as to why there's a delay on this earth. Why hasn't Jesus come back? And the answer that the book of Revelation will show us is that we are in a war. We are in a war. And so if we are in a war, what then is our purpose? And finally, that brings us to the final point of this overview talk. Our purpose is a call to conquer. I look at chapter 2, verse 7. Chapter 2, verse 7. Writing to the seven churches, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat from the tree of life. Chapter 2, verse 11. To the one who conquers will not be hurt by the second death. Chapter 2, verse 17. To the one who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna. You see, to each of the seven churches, it ends with a call to conquer. To the one who conquers, I will give. Jesus promised that he will give something. But at the very end of the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verse 7. Go to chapter 21, verse 7. Right at the end of the book, here is what God says. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. The start of the book starts with a call to conquer, and by the time we get to the end of the book, it's also another call to conquer. So the entire book of Revelation is unpacking this idea. What does it mean to conquer? For those who conquer will inherit the new creation, will come into the land. And so if you think about it, how do you kind of lose a battle? Maybe you were looking for that great Black Friday deal and you miss out on a deal because you were not ready for battle. Maybe for your great sports team, why did they lose this season? Because they were not ready for battle. For your company, why did they lose out from growing their business? Because they were not ready for battle. And so to not be ready for war is the quickest way to lose the war. And so Revelation is helping us to understand that there is a war going on, even as we come to work. As we live our lives in London, there is a greater war going on. Then that raises some questions. Well, where's this war being fought? How do we fight? What does it actually mean to conquer? Do we bring arms to the office? Well, definitely not. But what does it actually mean? And so that's what the book of Revelation will continue to unpack. What does it mean to conquer? And so maybe you are feeling the lure of the comfort that the city will offer. Maybe there's temptations to compromise in the office. Or maybe you're feeling crushed for being a Christian. Revelation has a lot to say to you for those who are in the war, to encourage them to keep going. So do be coming back each week. There's lots to see and lots to unpack in the book of Revelation. Revelation is about telling us about the delay, that there is a war that is going on, and there's a call for each one of us to conquer. Well, we're going to take a short pause right now. It's a time for you to sort of think if you have any sort of questions that you want to ask on, and do be maybe reading through the book of Revelation as you can, as you kind of prepare to come to talks, because there'll be lots to unpack each time. So let's take a short pause. And if there are any sort of questions, feel free to kind of shoot up hand, or if you need to head back to the office, feel free to head back if you need to.